ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 1 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द मनुस एडमिनिस्ट्रेटर्स ऑफ द यूनिवर्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 10। आत्मा वास्यम इदं विश्वम यत्किंचित् जगत्याम् जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीता मागृदकस्य स्विद्धनम्। आत्मा द सुपर सोल आवास्यम लिविंग एवरीवेर इदम् दिस यूनिवर्स विश्वम ऑल यूनिवर्सेस ऑल प्लेसेस यत व्हाटएवर किंचित एवरीथिंग दैट एग्जिस्ट जगत्याम इन दिस वर्ल्ड एवरीवेर जगत एवरीथिंग एनिमेट एंड इनएनिमेट तेन बाय हिम त्यक्तेन अलॉटेड बुंजीता यू मे एंजॉय मा डू नॉट ग्रद एक्सेप्ट कस्य स्वित ऑफ एनीवन एल्स धनम द प्रॉपर्टी। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Translation: Within this universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His Super Soul feature, is present everywhere, wherever there are animate or inanimate beings. Therefore, one should accept only that which is allotted to Him. One should not desire to infringe upon the property of others. Purport. Having described the situation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as transcendental, Swayambhu Manu, for the instruction of the sons and grandsons in his dynasty, is now describing all the property of the universe as belonging to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manu's instructions are not only for his own sons and grandsons, but for all of human society. The word man, or in Sanskrit manushya, has been derived from the name Manu. For all the members of human society are descendants of the original Manu. Manu is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says, Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam Vivasvan Manave Praha Manur Ikshvakave Bravit. I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivasvan, and Vivasvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. Swayambhu Manu and Vaivasvata Manu have similar duties. Vaivasvata Manu was born of the sun god Vivasvan, and his son was Ikshvaku, the king of the earth. Since Manu is understood to be the original father of humanity, human society should follow his instructions. Swayambhu Manu instructs that whatever exists, not only in the spiritual world, but even within this material world, is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present everywhere as the super consciousness. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Kshetragyam Chapi Mam Viddi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. In every field, in other words, in every body, the Supreme Lord is existing as the super soul. The individual soul is given a body in which to live and act according to the instructions of the Supreme Person. And therefore, the Supreme Person also exists within every body. we should not think that we are independent. Rather, we should understand that we are allotted a certain portion of the total property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This understanding will lead to perfect communism. Communists think in terms of their own nations. But the spiritual communism instructed here is not only nationwide but universal. Nothing belongs to any nation or any individual person. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the meaning of this verse. Atma Vasyam Idam Vishwam. Whatever exists within this universe is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The modern communistic theory and also the idea of the United Nations can be reformed, indeed rectified, by the understanding that everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is not a creation of our intelligence. Rather, He has created us. Atma Vasyam Idam Vishwam, Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. This universal communism can solve all the problems of the world. One should learn from the Vedic literature that one's body is also not the property of the individual soul, but is given to the individual soul according to his karma. Karmana Daiva Netrena Jantur Deho Papataye. The 84 lakh different bodily forms are machines given to the individual soul. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18.61. Ishvara Sarva Bhutana Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudani Mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The Lord, as the Super Soul, sits in everyone's heart and observes the various desires of the individual soul. The Lord is so merciful that He gives the living entity the opportunity to enjoy varieties of desires in suitable bodies, which are nothing but machines, Yantra Rudani Mayaya. These machines are manufactured by the material ingredients of the external energy, and thus the living entity enjoys or suffers according to his desires. This opportunity is given by the Super Soul. This is a long purport. I'll just stop here. Om Agyan. Seek the blessings of the assembled devotees, especially Gaurang Prabhu, Krishnam Prabhu, and all the other devotees for trying to speak something. So in this, today we are reading from this 8th canto, chapter 1. In this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami is describing about the Manus, the administrators of the universe. So, if you remember, in fact, the description started way back in the 3rd canto, in which the description of the Swayambhu Manu and his dynasty, Parishit Maharaj and Vidura asked Shukadev Maharaj to explain about the dynasty of the Swayambhu Manu. So he described the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu. The Swayambhu Manu had 2 sons and 3 daughters. The sons of Swayambhu Manu are Priyavrat Maharaj and Maharaj Uttanupad. So in the 4th canto, Shukadeva Goswami Maitreya Rishi described about the activities of Maharaj Uttanupad and his own son Dhruva Maharaj. And then later, he described about the activities of Maharaj Priyavrat and his sons. And then he also described about the activities and pastimes of the daughters of Swayambhu Manu, Devahuti, Akuti and Prasuti. So now, Parishit Maharaj is asking to describe about the other Manus. because all these manus are great devotees of the Supreme Lord. So Parikshit Maharaj wants to know about the activities of the other manus. So in this particular verse, Swayambhu Manu is actually describing about, he is actually, in the previous verse, Swayambhu Manu said that how the Supreme Lord, he has created everything, and he is actually, not only has created everything, he is also the super soul in everyone's heart, and he is witnessing the activities of every living entity. And in this particular verse, Swayambhu Manu is saying that how everything in this world, whether animate or inanimate, is actually owned by the Supreme Lord. So this verse is actually quite similar to the first verse of Isopanishad, which it is said, Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. In this verse it is mentioned, Atma Vasyam Idam Vishvam. Basically the meaning is same, that how the Supreme Lord is the owner of everything. So in this world, everything in this world can be categorized in two divisions, animate and inanimate. That which is conscious, that is a living entity, and that which is unconscious, the entirety of matter. So in these two particular divisions, everything in the world is covered. So both of them are owned by the Supreme Lord. So there, since everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Lord, so one should accept only those things which are set aside as one's own quota, knowing well what the other things, to whom the other things belong. So we see in this world that everyone is actually trying to compete with others. In fact, the whole world, actually people are trying to compete with other living entities. So in the colleges and also in the companies, there is severe competition. Like we were attending one seminar, the devotee was saying that one should actually replace this initially, even in the devotional service, one may actually, the impetus for practicing devotional service may be competition. But then, at a certain point, one should realize that instead of competing with others, one should come to the point that I should render devotional service for my own purification. I need to render devotional service for my own purification instead of trying to show to others that how I do better than others. So, in this particular regard, there is a nice verse in the third canto in which Maitreya Rishi is actually telling the attitude of why one should perform devotional service. Maitreya Rishi is saying, Tatapi kirtayam anga yata mati yata shrutam kirtim hare swam satkartum giram anyabhidasati. Maitreya Rishi says, the pastimes of the Supreme Lord are unlimited. It is actually practically impossible to describe about the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, I am actually trying, although it is unlimited, but still I am trying to glorify the activities of the Supreme Lord based on what I have heard from others and according to my own intelligence. And for the purpose of glorifying the Supreme Lord and for the purpose of purifying myself. But if I do not glorify the Supreme Lord, if I do not use my tongue in glorifying the Supreme Lord, then my tongue will remain unchaste. So Maitreya Rishi is actually showing the proper attitude why one should perform devotional service. For the purpose of glorifying the Supreme Lord and for the purpose of purifying one's own existence. So here also, Swayambhu Muni is saying that one should accept only that which is allotted to him, and one should not desire to infringe upon the property of others. One should not compete with others. One should basically accept whatever is allotted to him. So in this regard, we see in various places in the Srimad Bhagavatam how a person who practices this principle of Ishavasyam, that is understanding that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord, how does such a person act? How does such a person behave? We see in different examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's one particular example in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam of Lord Brahma. So this example is very relevant in the sense, like, I remember that I had gone to a clinic of one particular doctor. So in that doctor's clinic, he had a particular photo in which the doctor is actually shaking hands with a very prominent personality, I think chief minister or some other personality. And another place also, another doctor had put a similar photo in which he's shaking hands with a great personality. So usually people want to be recognized. Whether you go to a doctor or whether you go to a big CEO of a company, like in their main office room, they'll put a photo of in which they are getting award from a particular great personality. The company is getting an award, then he is actually taking the award. So every person has the tendency that he wants to be recognized by a great person. He wants to shake hands with a great person and want to be recognized by a great person. But then the greatest person to whom we should be recognized is that one, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If a person wants to be recognized by some particular great person, then we should actually desire to be recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead or by his representative. So here, in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma is recollecting that how the Supreme Lord shook hands with Lord Brahma. It is described, Tam Priyamanam, that Lord Brahma describes, Tam Priyamanam Samupasthitam Kavim Praja Visarge Nija Sashanarhanam. It is described that when Lord Krishna saw Lord Brahma, and when he saw that Lord Brahma is worthy to create, then the Supreme Lord shook hands with Lord Brahma, congratulated him. So Lord Brahma pleased Lord Krishna, because Prabhupada explains in the purport that Lord Brahma agreed to take up the responsibility of creating this material world, creating different living entities in the material world. Because the purpose of creation is to give an opportunity for the living entities so that they get a material body, and then so that they get an opportunity to render a devotional service and go back to Godhead. Because Lord Brahma has agreed to take up this responsibility of creating this material world, so Lord became very much pleased. And then he shook hands with Lord Brahma. In fact, Prabhupada explains that any person who takes up some responsibility in the preaching mission of the Supreme Lord, however insignificant such a person may be, the Lord will shake hands with such a person. So even if a person, distributes books in a small way, or somebody is like assisting in book distribution, or somebody is indirectly assisting book distribution, it may not be directly distributing, somebody may be assisting, like maintaining the temple, or somebody may be dressing the deity so that devotees, whoever visits the temples, they get attracted towards the deities. So in fact, every activity in ISKCON is actually preaching activity. So any person who takes up some responsibility in the preaching mission of the Lord, Prabhupada says that Lord will actually shake hands with such a person, however insignificant such a person may be. And then Prabhupada makes an interesting comment in the purport. He says that there are many renegades from the Brahma Sampradaya whose only business is to make men more forgetful of the Lord and thus entangle them more and more in material existence. So there are also, so we have these four sampradayas, Brahma sampradaya, Kumara sampradaya, Sri sampradaya and Rudra sampradaya. But then there are also some people who actually deviate from this sampradaya and then they actually start propagating the wrong philosophy. They may be externally practicing devotional service, they may be propagating like a devotional service, but then when we actually see closely, but they may be actually deviating from the wrong philosophy. So in this regard, because I just got inspired from one purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, like we see there are a certain group of people who claim that there is no need to accept a personal spiritual master. They may claim that, oh, Prabhupada is the only guru, we can directly accept Prabhupada as a spiritual master, although Prabhupada has disappeared from this world. There's no need to accept a personal spiritual master. And then they may be externally be practicing Krishna consciousness, but then actually it is a very wrong philosophy. In fact, if we just read from the Prabhupada's books, we can understand that how actually Prabhupada never approved this philosophy. In fact, in one purport, the second canto, in the ninth chapter, Prabhupada makes a very clear statement in which he says that one who is now a disciple will be the spiritual master in the future. So it is a very clear statement in which Prabhupada says that one who is now a disciple will be a spiritual master in the future. So that means Prabhupada believed that that those who are disciples of him will be spiritual masters in the future. And then if we little bit introspect, that Prabhupada wrote the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam before going to the West. After publishing the first canto, he went to the West. So Prabhupada must have written the second canto in the early years of after establishing Krishna consciousness, the 66, 67. So if you read the Lilamrita, you can see that how that Prabhupada was actually struggling to train his devotees in Krishna consciousness in the early years. Because people who took up the Krishna consciousness in the early years, they were so immature that they did not know even the basic principles. So Prabhupada had to struggle hard to train them. So in the early years of Krishna consciousness, although there were only immature disciples in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, but still Prabhupada believed that those immature disciples can be guru can act as spiritual masters in the future. And this Prabhupada wrote in his Srimad Bhagavatam purport, which he intended to publish and distribute all over the world. But on the other hand, these renegades from the Brahma Sampradaya, who actually propagate this philosophy, that there is no need to accept a personal spiritual master, they base their argument on one particular letter of Srila Prabhupada, which Prabhupada wrote in the later years of Krishna consciousness, the late 1970s. At that time, Prabhupada had many disciples, many thousands of disciples, and many mature disciples, and many sannyasis who actually had so much of qualifications to become spiritual master. Then we can understand how is it possible that Prabhupada will have the conception, Prabhupada will be thinking that the late 1970s that these disciples are not fit to lead, not fit to become spiritual master. So it is completely illogical, because Prabhupada wrote in the second canto, which he must have written in the 66-67, in which he is saying that one who is now a disciple will be a spiritual master in the future. So we can understand from the Srila Prabhupada's purports that how these renegades who are actually propagating a wrong philosophy, that these people are completely bogus. So then Lord Brahma recollects. He says that Yavat Saka Sakyur Iveshate Krita ప్రజా విసర్గే విభజామి ఇహో వయం. ఓ మై లార్డ్ ద అన్బాన్, యు హవ్ షేకెన్ హ్యాండ్స్ విత్ మీ జస్ట్ యాస్ ఎ ఫ్రెండ్ డస్ విత్ ఎ ఫ్రెండ్ యాస్ ఇఫ్ ఈక్వల్ ఇన్ పొజిషన్. ఐ షెల్ బి ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ ద క్రియేషన్ ఆఫ్ డిఫరెంట్ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ అండ్ ఐ షెల్ బి ఆక్యుపైడ్ ఇన్ యువర్ సర్వీస్ అండ్ ఐ షెల్ హ్యావ్ నో పర్టర్బేషన్ బట్ ఐ ప్రే దట్ ఆల్ దిస్ మే నాట్ గివ్ రైస్ టు ప్రైడ్ యాస్ ఇఫ్ ఐ వర్ ద సుప్రీం. సో లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మ ఇస్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఆఫరింగ్ ప్రేస్ టు ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్. సో ఇట్స్ వెరీ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్ దట్ ఇఫ్ యు సీ ద ప్రేయర్స్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మ, వన్ ఆఫ్ ద ప్రేయర్స్ లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మ ఇస్ ఇన్ విచ్ లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మ సేస్ దట్ ప్లీజ్ గివ్ మీ ద కెపాసిటీ సో దట్ ఐ కెన్ యాక్చువల్లీ డూ దిస్ సర్వీస్ ఆఫ్ క్రియేషన్ బికాస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అ వెరీ వెరీ హ్యూజ్ ప్రాజెక్ట్. లైక్ వీ ఆల్సో ఇన్ ద ప్రీచింగ్ మిషన్ ఎవ్రీ పర్సన్ ఇస్ ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ సమ్ పర్టిక్యులర్ ప్రాజెక్ట్. ఇట్ మే బి లైక్ కన్స్ట్రక్టింగ్ ఆర్ ఇట్ మే బి స్టార్టింగ్ ఎ టెంపుల్, ఇట్ మే బి లైక్ సమ్ వెబ్సైట్ ఆర్ ఇట్ మే బి లైక్ ఆర్గనైజింగ్ ఎ బిగ్ ఫెస్టివల్ ఎక్సెట్రా. సో సిమిలర్లీ లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మ ఇస్ ఆల్సో హ్యాస్ ఎ వెరీ హ్యూజ్ సర్వీస్ టు పర్ఫామ్ దట్ హీ హ్యాస్ టు క్రియేట్ ఆల్ ద లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్. హీ హ్యాస్ టు క్రియేట్ మెటీరియల్ బాడీస్ ఫార్ ఆల్ ద లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ హు ఆర్ స్లీపింగ్ ఇన్ ద బాడీ ఆఫ్ మహావిష్ణు. సో ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎ వెరీ బిగ్ సర్వీస్. So he is first of all praying that please give me the capacity so that I can do this service properly. But then Lord Brahma does not stop his prayer with that. He is actually going ahead. He is saying that but when after I do this service that I may actually become proud. Because when a person does a big task he may actually get a feeling that oh I have done such a big task. So he may become proud. So Lord Brahma is praying that not only please give me the capacity to do the service, but please also protect me from pride. So Lord Brahma is very much conscious that he does not want to forget his position as the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. Usually, at least I can see for myself, initially when we come to Krishna consciousness, like we have awe and reverence to devotees, we have service attitudes towards particular devotees, but then like when we see over a period of time, like we actually forget our position, that actually these devotees we have actually come to Krishna consciousness by the mercy of these devotees, and then the same awe and reverence we had towards those particular devotees by whose mercy we have come to Krishna consciousness, we may forget. Slowly the pride creeps in. So Lord Brahma is actually showing by his example that actually I want to remain humble. Please protect me from pride even after doing that service. So this actually principle of humility is actually very important. Like I remember that like when I was working the job, like I used to come from Siebs to like the IIT base which is in Powai. So the bus would come from Siebs to L&T and then from L&T it would go to Powai. And especially during the rainy season, there would be such severe traffic that just to come from Siebs to the like L&T, it would take sometimes 1 hour. Whereas ordinarily, it should take just some 5 or 10 minutes. So when there is severe traffic, like sometimes, like yesterday, one devotee was saying that yesterday there was such a big, like some morcha was there and then such a big traffic was there. Just to come from Santa Cruz to here temple, it took 4 hours by vehicle. So when there is severe traffic, like it takes lot of time for the vehicle to move. The bigger the vehicle, the longer the time. Suppose if you are traveling by bus, it will take more time to move even 1 kilometer or 2 kilometers because bus needs certain space. If a smaller vehicle is there, car is there, then it can, if there is even small space, then it will like nook into the small place, and then it can move a little faster than the bus. If even smaller vehicle, suppose auto is there, like we see that auto wala, like he just sometimes he goes like in between and then he goes ahead. And suppose if there is scooter or bike is there, he can move faster when there is severe traffic. And suppose if a person does not have any vehicle, if a person is just walking, he can move the fastest when there is severe traffic. So similarly, many times like people think, like humility means you will be exploited. Like Krishna says, the first point of knowledge is amanitvam adambitvam, humility and pridelessness. But then when there is difficult situation, when there is a very difficult situation, that time a person who is having a big false ego, he cannot actually come across that situation. He cannot actually come out of the situation. It will be very difficult for him. But on the other hand, when a person is humble, he can easily move ahead of the situation. So Lord Brahma is actually very much conscious that he remains humble even after performing that service. He does not want to become proud. So in this regard, I remember there is one particular purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the fourth canto, which is like very inspiring. Like in this particular purport, Prabhupada talks about the character of Prithu Maharaj. So Prithu Maharaj, he says that Prithu Maharaj was actually an empowered incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then, not only is just empowered incarnation Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he never forgot his position as the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. So one may be empowered. Even ordinary devotees, every person, he may be empowered by some other like superior person. But then, even greater than that, being empowered by other person is not to forget his position that it is actually eternal servant of the devotees and the Supreme Lord. So that is the unique characteristic of Prithu Maharaj, that he never forgot his position as the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord, although he was empowered by the Supreme Lord. In fact, this quality of the Supreme Lord to empower the devotees is actually very nicely exhibited. And Prabhupada explains in one purport in the fourth canto, when Lord Shiva is describing the beauty of the Supreme Lord, he says that Snigdha Pravrit Ganashyamam Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. He says that the Lord's body, the complexion of the Lord's body is like the darkish rain cloud, Ganashyamam. And the Lord's beauty is actually a Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. The sum total of all beauty is there in the form of the Supreme Lord. Like again, the same point is explained in the third canto, in which when Uddhava is recollecting about Krishna's qualities, he says that Yad Dharma Sunor Bata Rajasuye. He says that in the Rajasuye sacrificial arena of Maharaj Yudhishthir, all the demigods from upper planetary systems, middle planetary system, the lower planetary systems, everyone assembled there. And then when they looked at Lord Krishna, they considered he is actually the sum total of all beauty. Katsyena chadyeha gatam vidatur. And they considered that he is the most dexterous creation by Lord Brahma. So this is the verdict of all the Mr. Universes from all the planets from the whole universe. So that is the verdict of all these great demigods, that Krishna's form is the sum total of all beauty. But then they thought that the most dexterous creation by Lord Brahma is Lord Krishna. But then they were not aware that actually Krishna has created Lord Brahma. So then in this purport in the fourth canto, in which Lord Shiva says that Lord's form is the sum total of all beauty, Prabhupada makes an interesting comment. He says that like Krishna's form is actually attractive to both the demons and the devotees. But then in Vrindavan, sometimes Krishna is not attractive to the demons. He's attractive to the devotees, but then he's not attractive to the demons. But although Krishna may not be attractive to the demons, but then his devotees, the six Goswamis, they were attractive to both the ruffians and the rascals. They were attractive to both the demons and the devotees. Dheera Dheera Janapriya. So this is the nature of Lord's dealings with his devotees. Sometimes he empowers his devotees even greater than himself. So this is how Lord empowers a living entity, but then a living entity's greatness is that he should never forget his position, that he is actually the servant of the devotees who has empowered him, whom they have empowered. So one should never forget one's position. Like I remember, like way back, like when we were studying at IIT, I remember that when Gaurang Prabhu was giving this seminar on Ajamil, like he was quoting one particular purport in the Ajamil. It's a very actually striking purport in which Ajamil, after he actually hears this conversation between Vishnudutas and Yamadutas, he actually comes to his senses. Then he actually starts repenting for his sinful activities. He actually starts repenting that how actually I was engaged in devotional service, but then because of this attachment to the prostitute, for so many years I rejected my wife and my parents, and I engaged in this association with the prostitute for so many years. Then Ajamil starts repenting. He says, "Alas, all condemnation upon me. I acted so sinfully that I degraded my family tradition. Indeed, I gave up my chaste and beautiful young wife to have sexual intercourse with a fallen prostitute accustomed to drinking wine. All condemnation upon me." So in this purport, Prabhupada makes a very significant statement. Prabhupada says, this is the maturity of one who is actually becoming a pure devotee. When a person starts becoming a pure devotee, he actually starts repenting for his past sinful activities. In fact, Prabhupada says that the Vishnudutas had given Ajamil the chance to become a pure devotee. Then he says, the duty of a pure devotee is to regret his past sinful activities in illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling. Not only should one give up his past bad habits, but he must always regret his past sinful acts. This is the standard of pure devotion. So we have different standards. We set up different standards for different service, like gold standard, like cleaning standard, like ISO standard. Different standards are there. Like, but the standards, what is the standard of pure devotion? The standard of pure devotion is that such a person will always regret his past sinful activities. So much so that Prabhupada says, it is the duty of a pure devotee that he should always regret his sinful activities. If the repentance of sinful activities, if it is supposed to be the duty of a pure devotee, then how much more it is for a practicing devotee. We can add more superlative degrees. It is the most important duty, or most important duty for practicing devotee, that he should never forget his past sinful activities. So this is the actually unique character of Prithu Maharaj, that although he was empowered by the Supreme Lord, but he never forgot his position as the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. In fact, after describing the characteristics of Prithu Maharaj, Maitreya Rishi, he actually gives the Phalastuti of hearing these activities of Prithu Maharaj. In fact, in one of the verses, Maitreya Rishi is saying that pure devotees should hear and chant and should make others hear about the glories of Prithu Maharaj. Like many times, we see the professional Bhagavatam reciters, they directly jump into the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. They either narrate the Rasalila pastimes or the Sudama pastime. But then here Maitreya Rishi is saying that pure devotee should hear and chant about the activities of Prithu Maharaj. Then what to speak of ordinary devotees? So that is why we see that, like, repeatedly Prabhupada again and again mentions that one should go systematically, one should read, proceed Srimad Bhagavatam systematically, starting from the first canto. In fact, in one verse in the Rudra Geet, Lord Shiva, after describing the beauty of the Supreme Lord, first he describes the beauty of the Supreme Lord, and then he is actually requesting the Supreme Lord to give his darshan. See, in one particular verse he says that pradarshaya sviyam, I forgot the verse, but he says that now I please actually give me the darshan of your lotus feet. Lord Shiva is saying, first he describes the beauty of the Supreme Lord, and then he is saying that now I wish to desire the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So he wants to take darshan of the Supreme Lord, starting from the lotus feet, and then the, like, thighs and the navel, and then he wants to come to the face of the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord represents the first two cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The first two cantos start with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Prabhupada says that one should systematically proceed, starting from the first canto, second canto, third canto, fourth canto, etc. And then come to the tenth canto. In fact, you remember this pastime that, like, once a film producer came to Srila Prabhupada that I want to make a movie of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I want to especially shoot the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's pastimes. So Prabhupada said, no, you should start from the first canto. No, that person was insisted, no, I will start from the 10th canto. So Prabhupada said, if you are starting from the first canto, then we will give you guidance. If you are wanting to, if you want to start the 10th canto, then we don't want to support you. So Prabhupada could understand that this person actually wanted to earn money by actually making a movie of the Rasalila pastimes of Lord Krishna and wants to satisfy the senses of the audience. So he said, first you start shooting movie from first canto, second canto, third canto, fourth canto, etc. Then you come to the 10th canto. So then we will see just one more characteristics of Maharaj Prithu. That Prithu Maharaj's renunciation. So it is said that when a person is, like, suppose maintaining a big company, then especially when a person is maintaining, then he becomes attached to that particular, say, family or company, or it may be some spiritual institution or some department, etc. But then, it is, Prabhupada explains in one purport, a person maintains something, and then he is maintaining so many other people. The person who is being maintained, he has less attachment, but the person who maintains, he actually has more attachment. So when the person who is maintaining so many other people, when he has to give up those things, it is more difficult. When a person joins a brahmachari ashram, one may think that I have actually given up so many things. But then, it is actually more difficult for the parents. They actually go through more difficult situation because they were actually maintaining the son for so many years. So when the son leaves, when their attachment is shaken, they actually go through more intense situation than the person who actually joins the ashram, who is being maintained by the parents. So when a person maintains, so the person who is maintaining, he goes through the attachment to the objects of advaita, which he is maintaining, that is more great for the person who is maintaining. But then when Prithu Maharaj, after ruling the country, after ruling the kingdom for so many years, when he actually renounces his kingdom, Maitri Rishi explains that Maharaj Prithu strictly followed the regulations of retired life and underwent severe austerities in the forest. And he engaged in these activities as seriously as he had formerly engaged in leading the government and conquering everyone. So when he renounced his kingdom and when he performed the austerities, he engaged in those activities with the same seriousness as he was doing his duties previously. So this is the actually character of Prithu Maharaj. Not only when he was ruling the kingdom, he ruled the kingdom so seriously, but then when he actually renounced the kingdom, with the same seriousness, he actually performed the austerities. So we also see one more verse similar to this in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Lord Shiva says about the Supreme Lord, he says that you have also created the cosmic manifestation and you maintain the cosmic manifestation as if it is permanent. But then at the end, you yourself actually destroy the cosmic manifestation. When a person is actually maintaining a big company, then he becomes very much attached to it. He maintains as if it is permanent. And similarly, Lord maintains the whole cosmic manifestation as if it is permanent, but then he himself destroys it. It is so difficult when you are maintaining something, when that person himself to destroy that, it is actually so difficult. Because usually the attachment is so great. But then the Lord destroys it. And then he's never affected by that activity of destroying the cosmic manifestation. But the living entities become attached to the cosmic manifestation. Because they do not understand that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. Because they want to enjoy this material world. So when those objects of material enjoyment, when they are taken away, they become affected. But then the real owner, the Supreme Lord, he maintains as if it is permanent and then he destroys it, but then he is never affected. So when a devotee, when a person becomes a devotee of the Supreme Lord, he also gets the same character quality of the Supreme Lord. That when he does this duty, then he is actually doing his duty properly. And then when he decides to renounce, then he does it with the same seriousness as he was doing the service previously. So that is the character of Maharaj Prithu, who practiced this principle of Ishavasyam, understanding that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord and using everything in the service of the Supreme Lord. So in this way, we saw different examples of Lord Brahma, how he prayed for to be protected from pride and also to do the service properly. And we saw the example of Prithu Maharaj, that how he never forgot his position as a eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. We saw the example of Prithu Maharaj's renunciation. So if you have spoken anything in the instructive tone, I beg forgiveness. Definitely, whatever I've spoken, I myself have a long way to practice. I just spoke for my own purification. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.